inside a relationship, it's different than, okay, clear. Paul talks about the law from inside the relationship. And so when Paul says, I know what's right and I can't seem to do it, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? That lament is part of his dance with God, his grace dance with God. When you know that Paul says in chapter 8, verse 39, will anything separate us from the love of God? No, nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. Not government, not military action, not height, not depth, nothing in all of creation can separate us from the love of God. And then you re-put that back in here and say, I can't seem to get things right. I know what's right as I respond to God's love. I try to do what's right. I know what's right, and I keep failing myself. It's a dance inside of that grace relationship with God. And it's essentially Paul being aware that he is not worthy, like I'm not worthy, that the grace really makes a difference. I'm stuck, I can't save myself, and yet nothing can separate me from the love of God. When you can hold both of those things honestly, I'm telling you, in our relationship with God, we are forgiven, but we should not forget that we are weak or broken or... Because it keeps us humble. It keeps us connected. It reminds us that grace is powerful and rewarding. God's love is greater than all of my brokenness. I know grace because I know brokenness. Maybe you too have found your way through junk in your life into a new life with God. I think this is like the perfect seed for Alcoholics Anonymous. This awareness that I can't fix it. Something else has got to save me. I need something else. And so I got to have an honest interaction with and be in relationship with. Grace changes things, but it's not a cheap and easy free pass. Here, you land on the right square in Monopoly, and it says, woohoo, pass, go, get $200, get out of jail free. Grace is not that way. Grace is costly. There's nothing you can do, and sometimes I hate myself saying this, there's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. That's grace. When I say the word grace, I mean God's free, unconditional love for me. It means forgiveness. When I say grace, I mean Jesus loves me, this I know. It's that simple. Grace saves me. Every time I try to do it with pure willpower, every time I try to use my human instincts to do the law the best I can, follow the rules the best I can, live inside the boundaries the best I can, I can't seem to do it right. Even with my own wife, I can't seem to get all my act together just right. Is that just me? No, good. You were a little too enthusiastic about that, Steve. Now all we got to do is figure out how to get our wives to use grace as the modus operandi. I know you do. I know you do. Grace, if we're not careful, can be a very cheap, oh, great. If God's going to love me no matter what, if God's powers, if principalities and powers can't defeat God's love for me, then what the heck? Let's go party. Sign me up. Let's go do whatever we want because God's going to forgive me. Grace is going to come greater than all my sin. That's cheap grace. That's not real grace. That's not, I understand to my core what unconditional love is like. Unconditional love really appears in your life when you are on your knees, broken in half, and you can't imagine how you can save. There was a time in my life I emotionally felt like I was falling into a pit that had no hope of hitting ground. I had like Paul, I had done something I really wish I hadn't done, and I knew better, and I was so disappointed in myself. And the only thing that I felt like was a thread of grace in the midst of that was, it was right for me to be disappointed in myself. That's how bad I felt I was. The only redeeming factor I had at that moment was that at least I felt bad about doing it. And then grace came. And so I've got a little passion about grace. I think that if people don't know about grace, they don't know about Jesus Christ. If they don't know about that the cross is an act of love, not an act of shame, not an act of guilt, not an act of manipulation, that we're missing the mark. So I want to talk about unconditional love. But it's not cheap. Just like in your relationship with each other, you can't just cheat on them time after time after time and think everything's going to be fine because they said they'd love me forever. Grace is a powerful part of who we are, unconditional love. The key then becomes, after we figure out that God does that for us, how do we live that life for others? If you've accepted God's grace and unconditional love, God puts you on a path to try to extend that to other folks. And that's hard. When Jesus says, I'm telling you, you should unconditionally love your enemies, all I can think of is, you didn't make us that way. God, you created us in a way where we're not going to unconditionally love our enemies. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the word enemies. And so what Jesus does in my face in the mirror is essentially says, look, you either have to make unconditional love really shallow and redefine it, or you have to stop having enemies. Right between the eyes sometimes. Grace, accepting it for ourselves because sometimes we don't want to be treated unconditionally by God, is grace. Accepting grace is hard. And it is rich and rewarding, and the only way to really understand it is to accept it from your knees or from face down in the mud. The most transforming times in my life when grace has made all the difference is when I have been at my worst, when I have made the biggest mistakes. And in those moments, Paul writes, shall making a mistake separate you from the love of God? Shall the time or country you're born in, should your parents, the way they treated you, make a difference to God's love for you? Is there anything that stands between you and God? There's nothing that your parents ever did or your children ever said or governments ever did or... There's nothing that can stand between us and God's love. Probably except for us aiming the wrong direction. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, I told you that the word sin means aiming the wrong direction. It's an archery term for missing the mark. The only thing that we can do in response to God's grace so that we don't get unconditional love from God is go the wrong direction. The word repent means stop doing what you're doing, turn around and go the right direction. Simple words we've made really religious. Repent, stop, turn around, change your mind. Change your worldview. Change your perspective. Metanoia. Change your mind. The word for sin, amartia, it's archery term for I missed. That's what Paul's using. In response to God's grace, not in order to earn God's grace, in response to God's grace, we try to do better, live a different kind of life. Change the world so that the kingdom comes. Turns out it's not about you. It's not about keeping score. It's not about sin. If we focus on sin, that's all we see. Oh, look, more sin. Yeah, if you want to look at my life and look for sin, I got a nice long list. And I'm not forgetting it, not because I want to feel bad, but because I want to know how good God's grace is. I love that Paul invites us in to God's story and says, even when I know what's right to do, I can't seem to do it. God chose Paul, and Paul can't get it right, which means when I can't get it right, God can still choose me. Glory to God. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, change us little by little. Pull us closer to you so that we breathe in grace and forgiveness and love until we can breathe out grace and forgiveness and love. And change the way the world keeps score. Let us, Lord, follow you, forgiving 70 times 7 instead of making people and relationships disposable and letting the first misstep be the end. Thank you for loving us more than we deserve. Thank you for loving us when we're broken and unworthy. Thank you for offering us grace greater than all our sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.